be with you. The invitation to share once again with you from the Word of God. And we pray that the Lord would bless us as we share together in these days. I know you've just had Brother Neil Dougal with you, and someone has said that when you follow a man like Brother Neil Dougal, that's kind of a tall order to follow. However, just think of me as Tom Roberts and not Neil Dougal. But it's good to be with you. And we're going to ask that you turn with us to Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to read just a few verses from this chapter as we seek to share with you this evening on a subject that the Lord has placed upon my heart in these days. It has been a tremendous challenge to me. Trust that the same would be to all of us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, through which he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, in which he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, and that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I'm sure the Lord would bless to us the public reading of his precious word. The early part of the year, I suppose it was the middle part of the year, I was involved in a conference, a local conference here in Nassau, sponsored by the East Street Gospel Chapel and the Believers Gospel Chapel. The theme for that conference was the pursuit of holiness. I was asked to take the first three nights of that conference. I was to address the theme in the first night, the pursuit of holiness. Then the second night, I was supposed to, as a subtopic to that general theme, the pursuit of holiness, I was to talk about evangelism, the pursuit of holiness, the call to evangelism. And then the third night, I was asked to speak on another topic under that general heading, the pursuit of holiness, commitment to the Word of God. Since then, I had been really exercised because of my dealing with the theme itself, the first message, to do some further study and meditation in the subject, the pursuit of holiness. And this is what we are going to be sharing with you during the month of December that we are to share with you on Wednesdays in God's will. And so this evening, as we think of the subject, the pursuit of holiness, our sub to that is God's eternal purpose. The pursuit of holiness, God's eternal purpose. It was Robert Murray McShane who said, "Lord, I am called to perfect holiness. I come to thee for it. Make me as perfectly holy as a redeemed sinner can be on earth." What a request, what a prayer. And I believe this should be the prayer of all of our hearts as we think of the pursuit of holiness, God's eternal purpose. For when we look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, you cannot escape the fact that the pursuit of holiness in the believer's life is God's eternal purpose. For it says, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him." And of course it goes on to say, "in love, having predestinated us," and so forth. But in eternity past, God's purpose in choosing us is that we be holy, When we come to Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26 and 27, you hear the Trinity, the big three in conference. And the conference is to do with the making of man. So it is said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness." Now that's a very important thing, or an observation there. And there is an important observation, I should say it that way, in that verse, as we think of our subject, the pursuit of holiness. "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness." Emphasis, representation. You see, God's desire is that on this earth, he would have men and women to represent him. To represent him is to be like him. To be like him is to be holy. And so, in Genesis chapter 1, then he says, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness." Of course, there's another thing that comes out of this into our heart. And when we think of the creation of man, we think of the fact that everything goes back to its source. Everything goes back to its source. The fish and the trees, when they die, they go back to its source, the ground. You see, when man was created, when we have it said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness," the word that is used is the word that is used in the opening verses of the book of Genesis. And God created the heavens and the earth. And the word bara means to create out of nothing. And so when it says, "Let us make man in our image," that's the word that's used. But when you come further on and God is making man, he says, "He formed man out of the dust of the earth." That's another word. That's another word. So therefore, when you think of this, you think of the fact that everything goes back to its source. Man's body was made out of the dust of the earth. When he dies, it goes back to its source, to the earth. But man, as he is, created by God, goes also back to his source. And so when he goes back to its source, it says to us that man lives forever. Because God lives forever. Man has come out of God. That's the source of man. That's why you see, when it comes to Genesis chapter 1, the emphasis is representation. God wants people on the earth to represent him. Number 2, when we come to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 15 to 16, we read that as Peter writes, he speaks of God being holy. "He is holy," he says. "So be ye holy in all manner of life. Be ye holy, for I am holy." God is saying, And so there is God's purpose for us that we be holy. I was speaking with my brother Hartley Thompson not very long ago. We were sitting and reminiscing, and you know how preachers are when they get together, just like when elders and preachers get together and we talk about the Word of God, for this is a thing that should be uppermost in our minds and hearts. And as we reminisced of the Word of the work of God, Brother Hartley said something to me that stuck with me. He said, you know, Brother Tom, I believe God's people need to get a deeper appreciation of the holiness of God. And the word holiness, of course, stuck in my mind. Because I believe with all of my heart that is true what he has said. And also it is true that we should endeavor to be holy before God in this life. Because the things that we have been praying about, affecting people, touching lives, being instruments in God's hands to see people brought to him, being holy is fundamental to the answer of those prayers. It's fundamental to the answer of those prayers. And so then, again, the pursuit of holiness, God's eternal purpose. Note also in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, John is writing and he's saying, we ought to walk even as he walked. Even as he walked. We ought to walk even as he walked. Ought is a very strong word, emphasizing a moral obligation for God's people to walk like Jesus. That's what he's talking about. Again, representation. Representation here in this life. God's eternal purpose. That we be holy. Matthew chapter 5 verse 48. It says, we are to be perfect, excuse me, as our heavenly Father is perfect. And of course, it means what it says. Now, of course, you and I know that these words are to be determined, the meaning, the emphasis, is to be determined by the context. By the context. I sometimes, when I read a commentary on these verses and these words, it's amusing. For instance, the same verse. They say, well, it doesn't mean to be perfect like God. It means to be mature. Well, now, I have a problem with that, too, if you're going to talk about being mature like God. What you say, Bruce? I mean, you've got a problem all around when you talk. But you see, if we take it for what it says, the context determines what it means. You see, there, in the context, it talks about forgiving and helping those who do not deserve your help because of their attitude, loving those who do not love you, and so forth and so on. And so it says, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You and I can do that. We can love those who do not love us. Could we not? Some of us do that, right? We could help those who do not deserve our help because of their attitude towards us. Some of us do that, right? And so we are to be perfect like God. Again, representation. God wants people on this earth to be holy. To be holy. And so then, very quickly, we come to our first major heading in this subject. Now, when you think then of the holiness, the pursuit of holiness, we think first of all of positional holiness. Now, it's difficult to think of it without first of all thinking about positional holiness. We thought we could make it clear as to what we mean. Now, when we think of positional holiness, we think of a standing of holiness brought about by God through Christ's work on the cross. Through Christ's work on the cross. And when a person becomes a Christian, when a person by faith opens their heart and life to Jesus Christ, they are brought into this holy standing in God. This is what we call positional holiness. Now hear me. This is fundamental. This is fundamental to a divine relationship. To a divine relationship. Because you see, our relationship with God is not based upon our holiness. For if it were, we would never have a relationship with God, right? Because we are sinful.
We are sinful. But this is based on the work of Jesus Christ. And so we can have a relationship with God. We could be God's child, though we might not be perfect in ourselves. We could still be a child of God. We could still know this standing of holiness. Therefore, when we come to the Word of God, we know that we are called a holy nation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. For ye are a holy nation. Now God can only call you and I as believers a holy nation because of positional holiness. Search your own heart. Search your own life. And you will be the first one to say, now wait a minute, Father, talk. I ain't holy. If you be honest, right? You'll be the first one to admit that. But you say, God calls you a holy nation. He calls you a holy nation because that's how he sees you. The concept is the same as justification. You see, justification says God has declared us righteous. Note now, he has not made us righteous. He has declared us righteous. He has declared us righteous. So as far as God is concerned, he has made a declaration. Because you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, because you've opened your life to Jesus Christ, you are declared righteous. And you know, we sometimes say that means just as if we had never sinned. Now that blows my mind. I don't know about you. But that's the declaration of God. But when you look at your own heart and in your own life, you say, well, now, brother, I ain't righteous. There's a lot that leaves to be desired in my own life as a believer. And so then, there is this, and this is fundamental, as I mentioned, to a life, to a relationship with God. Therefore, we are called holy. Back in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, the same is there. They are called, let me read it. Exodus chapter 19, because some of you are relaxing, and you might go to sleep on me. Please don't do that. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6. Exodus 19 verse 6 says, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Look over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 14, I think it is, and it's verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 2. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. And the Lord has chosen thee to be a peculiar a people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Now what is true of Israel positionally is also true of us. Now if you go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse, almost the same wording, right? A holy, there in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, it's a royal priesthood. In verse 5, it's a holy priesthood. And so, almost the same wording, a holy nation. Because when you look at Israel, when you examine Israel as a nation, they were anything but holy and righteous. But this is how God looked at them. God brought them into this relationship. They're standing before him. And so we are called a holy nation. And we can only be called a holy nation because of this standing. Also, a note that we are created in true holiness. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. We are created in true holiness and righteousness. Now, I believe I mentioned it here before, but anything that's worth mentioning is worth mentioning more than once. When we think of family relationship, we think of similarity. We think of similarity. And so we say, well, Bruce looks like his father. Or we say, Dennis looks like his mother. Or Tom Roberts, I look like my father, even walk like him. He's gone to be with the Lord now, but let me tell you, family relationship. And this is sometimes, you know, I travel some, you know, a little, and I go to places where I've been years ago, hadn't been back for a little while, and a young fellow would come up to me and shake my hand and say, do you remember me? Or do you know me? And I'll look at him and I say, well, I know your pa. You're the son of so-and-so. I know your mother. You got ears like your ma. That is like your ma. Can't say things like that. Ain't nice, eh? But similarity. Now, the Bible says, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24, that we have been created in God in true holiness and righteousness. Family, similarity. And so we have taken on the image of God, beloved. And it's when these things are seen that people say we belong to God, right? Just like we would say such and such belong to so and so. They would say you belong to God. Holiness then, beloved, is God's eternal purpose for us who belong to Him. So we have been created in true holiness. Also, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, we are holy and beloved. We are holy and beloved of God. Also, as I mentioned, we are a holy priesthood. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. So, not only do we note these things that we have mentioned, the fact that we are called a holy nation and so forth, but through faith in Christ, we become a new person. Through faith in Christ, we become a new person. Let me say to you, beloved in the Lord, whenever a person makes a commitment to Jesus Christ, a true commitment to Jesus Christ, you'll never be the same again. It is impossible to be the same. You might backslide. If you're truly born again, you might be backslide, but you'll never be the same again. You will be the most miserable person on the face of the earth because, you see, you are now a new person in Christ. And this happens when you place your faith in Him. And so we become a new person by faith. We become crucified to the world. Galatians chapter 6 verse 14. And you cannot ever sit anymore like you did. There is an opposition now between you and the world. And although my friends like Lot, sitting in the gate of Sodom, spending time in the city, it says that his righteous soul was vexed. And although he was mingling with them, although he was in and out among them, although he had a family, his house was there, and eventually he lost some of his family, yet Lot, because of his relationship with God, could not fit anymore in the world system. Comfortably. And so the Bible says, we have been crucified unto the world, and the world unto us. Now, this took place, of course, when we gave our heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, we are told that we are complete in the Lord. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, verse 9 says, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him. Isn't that a marvelous thing to realize tonight, to hear? The fact that we are complete in the Lord. Now, when something is complete, it's what? It's complete. When a glass of water, a glass is filled with water, it is completely filled. It's filled. You can pour as much as you like. It won't hold anymore. It's filled. Now you see, Paul deals with this in the context of people saying that, listen, you, your salvation is not complete. Just believing in Jesus Christ doesn't bring you a complete salvation. You have to do this. You have to do the next thing. You have to do the next thing. And you know, it might be changed in terms of presentation today, but today a lot of the groups are saying the same thing. And so-called evangelical groups are saying the same thing. That listen, your salvation is not complete. You've got to preach now or believe the full gospel. What is the full gospel? Well, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 what the full gospel is, right? Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day. What? According to the scriptures. Now, he doesn't say anything else. So to me, that is the full gospel. That's the full gospel. And if it's full, it's full. Nothing to be added to it. Anything to be added to it, Paul says, let him be. Don't go to sleep. Let him be consigned to hell. That's what it means. Anathema. Let him be consigned. It's a serious matter to add to the gospel. It is to say, you see, it is to say, God, you didn't provide it sufficiently. You didn't, it's not complete as you say it is complete. You are calling God a liar. When you add to the gospel, that's a serious matter. That's a serious matter. And so, beloved, we are complete in the Lord. Time wouldn't permit us to turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 10, where it talks about being sanctified completely unto the Lord. That's positional. As far as God is concerned, you belong to Him if you are genuinely saved. If you're genuinely saved. And also, note, by faith we become accepted in Christ. We just came back from Israel. We had a wonderful trip. And one of the things, of course, on trips like this, after dinner in the evening, you sort of gather in the lobbies and a little group hive over here and a little group hive over here. And sometimes you just sit in the dining room. Depends who comes. I mean, how late you went into the dining room and ask everybody just leave. And so in Jordan, in Amman, Jordan, when I was leaving the dining hall, I saw over in the corner at a table a few brethren sitting and discussing. So I went over and I sat down for a moment because this is Lynn. I didn't want to go upstairs and to my room. And so we sat and talked. And as we talked, of course, they were talking about doctrine. And folks don't like to talk about doctrine, you know. And so they had been apparently having some real deep theological stuff. And so I said, I have to be kind of careful there, you see, because, you know, I'm kind of on the shallowish side. And so, but I listened for a little while, and then I got involved. It's difficult to keep a preacher out of a good discussion. You know, you say, you ain't going to say nothing. But it's hard. It's hard for me anyhow. And so I got in. And now we had a lot of preachers on this trip. Matter of fact, we had a woman two women evangelists from the Church of God of Prophecy. And we had a pastor from the Church of God of Prophecy who was at the table. That the pastor, the man was at the table. And of course, one of the brothers who was talking knew that, you know, they believed certain things. And so I got involved. And so we commenced the talk. And then we start talking about how we are going to get to heaven. As to whether we're going to get to heaven by what we do or by what Christ. Now, that's important. That's important. You see, that's why, you see, the holiness, God's eternal purpose is very fundamental. It's fundamental to that. You can't get to heaven apart from that. Because, you see, if it's fundamental to a divine relationship and not what you do and not what you are in yourself, then listen, beloved, there has to be something else upon which we're going to get, going to guarantee our entrance into heaven. And the Bible says we are accepted in the Lord. And I remember, step by step, I knew where they were after just listening for a minute or two. I knew what they were talking about and how they were trying to put this poor brother in the corner. And so, as a good Christian, I wouldn't allow them to do that. I just added to the misery. That's not nice. But we followed along. We just followed along. And so I was stopping. I was saying, brother, what do you think about this? And he said, that's good stuff. And then you move on a little further, and I said, then, well, what about this? He said, well, I'm sure about that. Let's go back down here. You see, because what I was showing him was, you see, if you ever get to heaven, it's going to have to be exclusively on the basis of our being accepted in Jesus Christ. Any other way will not do. Now they believe you have to work to get there. You believe to get it, but you work to keep it. And so I say, if you don't have to work to get it, pray tell me, how could you work to keep it? impossible. One is as impossible as the other. And so then, it's important to know that we are accepted in the Beloved. Let me give you a verse. Let me give you a verse. That's Ephesians, of course, chapter 1 and verse 6. But let me give you another verse in relation to what we are talking about. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. This is a very, very important verse, at least to me. I trust you will see it as I see it. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, we have these words. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification or holiness, and redemption. Other words, it is saying that Christ is made unto us this. We are this in him. We are redeemed in him. We are clothed upon with his righteousness. He is everything in this business of holiness. And as I mentioned, going to heaven, going to be with the Lord. And so, through faith, then we are a new person. We are crucified to the world. We are complete in Christ, and we are accepted in Christ, not in ourselves. And Paul would have the people in Colossae to realize that your completeness then is found exclusively in the Lord. Exclusively in the Lord. When a baby is conceived, however infinitesimal that conception is, and you cannot see it, you have to use a microscope to see it, yet the conception, the child is complete. Absolutely complete. When you are born again by the blood of Christ, you are complete. Completely saved. You will be no more saved 100 years from that moment than you are that moment you open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not be more saved in heaven. You'll change the location. You won't have the sinful nature, but you won't be more saved than you are the moment you commit your life to Jesus Christ. Paul says then, ye are complete in him. Now we're talking about standing. We're talking about position. I'm laying a groundwork here for our sharing on this subject, the pursuit of holiness, emphasizing the fact that this is God's eternal purpose. And you and I can't get around it. We must face it squarely. God wants you to be holy. And you can't say, well, now, brother, you don't know what kind of world it is we're living in. Yes, I know. God knows, too. You can't say, well, I'm in the flesh. God knows that. And yet he says, be ye holy as I am holy. Note then the spiritual blessings in Christ. Note the spiritual blessings in Christ. Verse 3 of our chapter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, as we progress in our study, in our meditation, you're going to see how this fits in the entire book, the structure of the book of Ephesians. This emphasis of holiness, you're going to see how it fits in this epistle. And so, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Now, first of all, in these spiritual blessings in Christ, we are chosen in him. This is what verse 4 says. According as he has chosen us in him, when did he choose us? Before the foundation of the world. Before you had anything to do with it. Before you came into being. Because this makes him God. God knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything. And because of the fact he knows everything, in his counsel, in a bygone eternity, his purpose was to choose us. To choose us. And it gives us the why. And he has chosen us that we be holy and without blame. That's why he's chosen us. He has chosen us that we be holy without blame. And so that's the blessing. That's one of the blessings, to be chosen Him. And so in the verse gives us the why. Then we are adopted as sons by Him. Verses 5 and 6. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, through which He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Very interesting here, the term in verse 4, the word chosen is used, and in verse 5, the word predestination is used. And I believe there's a difference not only in spelling, but in concept. In concept. Here in verse 5, where it says that we are predestinated to be adopted as sons, it means that it was predetermined by God that this would be, and nothing will change it. Nothing will change it. And so adoption speaks of responsibility. You see, Paul talks about sons when John talks about children, right? John says, to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power, not to become the sons of God, but the children of God. If you note the marginal reference, or a New Scofield Bible, or another translation, you will note that it's not sons, we are, but it's technon, it's children. And so we become children. Emphasis, divine care. God cares for us as children. But when Paul writes, he talks primarily about sons, because sons, the emphasis is responsibility. Responsibility. So you and I, having been saved by God, brought into God's family, adopted into God's family as full-fledged sons, we are to be responsible children, or responsible sons and daughters of God, to represent Him. To represent Him. The concept, of course, comes from the Romans. The Romans, for the first 7 or 8 years or so, a child was though he was the designated heir, he was no different from a servant, Paul says in Galatians. But then you see, when he reaches a certain age, there is a declaration of his sonship, as though he has just become a son. Brings him now as a full-fledged, responsible person to be able to transact business on the part of the father. And so there he is, a full-fledged son. And the term adopted then could be used there to convey the concept in some of the religions. In some of the religions, they talk about confirmation. Confirmation at a certain point in your religious life, they confirm you. When I was a Roman Catholic, that's what they did to me. I mean, I was a little older, of course, because I became a Roman Catholic, not from a child, but little on in my preteens, and so I became confirmed. I became confirmed as a child of God, or a son of God. And as such, I was all straight then, you see. Wicked, but straight, as far as they were concerned. And so they tried to convey that concept, but we are adopted as sons. And that's the motive, God's motive. He predestinated us that we might be sons of His, and that cannot change, beloved. That's been predetermined. And then we have been redeemed through Him. Verse 7b says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Excuse me. Redeemed through Him. This is the basis. This is the basis. The basis for this standing in this positional holiness is the work of Christ on the cross. Apart from it, apart from Jesus dying, nothing could happen for us. That's fundamental to all that God can do for us, for time and for eternity. So you and I must never forget. We must never forget Gethsemane, as we see. We must never forget that agony for us. We must never forget Calvary, because without it, we are lost. That's why we sing. That's why we sing about the fact that we thank God for the man called Jesus, because without Him, forever we would be lost. And then finally, for this evening, we have Now the spiritual blessing is to spend eternity with him. This is verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. That's before us. That's the blessed hope. You know, there is a fullness of the times that's here. There is the times of the Gentiles, and so forth, and so on. And but here is that final fullness of the times when we shall be gathered to be with the Lord there in heaven. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That word again, predestination, linked, of course, with verse 10. Verse 10 talks about he's going to gather us in one, and we're going to be with him forever. And verse 11 speaks of the predestination, which means that we have been determined, or it has been determined, predetermined, that we are going to spend eternity with the Lord. Nothing could change that, beloved. Nothing at all. That's why, you see, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and something around maybe verse 9 or 10, I like to think about it. When I think about it, I think of the Old West, you know. And I like little Western pictures sometimes. And when they send out a warrant for a man, and they says, bring him in, dead or alive. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, either verse 9 or verse 10, Paul says, whether we are awake, that's what? Alive. Or whether we are asleep, that's what? Dead. Whether dead or alive, we are the Lord. Nothing can change that, because we have been predetermined that that should be the pursuit of holiness. The pursuit of holiness. God's eternal purpose. Next time we shall talk about the practical side. You won't want to miss that. Let's pray. Our Father, bless your word to us and give us an insatiable longing to be like Jesus, to be holy and without blame, that our lives indeed might be the kind of life that when people see, without us having to say anything, they will see the divine resemblance, because we are your children. We thank you for your word. Bless it to us. Write it indelibly upon our hearts, and may it find reproduction through our life day by day. For we pray, as we ask your parting benediction, in Jesus' name.